When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch.
Lifesaver.
Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. The odds are already out for who is going to make the NCAA football initial 12-team playoff. James Madison at 50,000 to 1, Troy 75,000 to 1, everyone else in the belt 100,000 to 1. What a great way to get all the latest stats, news, and scores so that you can follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about any sport out there. Head over to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
This is Old Dominion University head coach Mike Jones, and you're listening to the Fun Belt Podcast.
If you didn't know before, now you know why they call this the Fun Belt.
Very excited about the Sun Belt.
You know, while other conferences have been breaking up, our conference has become stronger.
The state of Sun Belt football is the strongest in our history.
I saw Fun Belt Conference, and I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I got to join the show. It sounds a lot of fun.
We come back for another episode. Starting off on a somber note, though, Jeremy and Shane, We always give Appalachian State a hard time, but we know how passionate, how great their players are, how great their fan base is, and they're all in mourning. They recently lost a third-team all-conference offensive lineman, Jack Murphy, passed away unexpectedly April 26th. He will be missed. He will be mourned. But, Jeremy, the game has to keep going on. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, yes. Here's one thing. The most humbling aspect of death is that life goes on. However, as a father, I think we're all fathers here, having something like that happen is just extraordinarily painful, extraordinarily hard to take. And I can't imagine what that team is going through, what that offensive line squad's going through, what Coach Sean Clark is going through, what those family members are going through. Like you said earlier, all condolences to Jack's family. Godspeed. And yes, all we can do is go on.
Yeah, condolences. And it makes you stop and think how many people it touches that we probably either know who listen to us. I mean, he's obviously plays for App State. He's been at Marshall, like you said, from my neck of the woods, originally kind of up and around the DC area, played at Bishop O'Connell and Fork Union, so many players around the Sun Belt knew him, played with him. It's just, you think about how many lives each person touches when things like this happen.
Yeah, and it always seems like, oh, well, someone passes away, and you don't really think about the ripples and the who it touches. You're right, Shane. I mean, there's a lot of people that are going to be missing him tonight and for the weeks and months to come. So, yeah.
It is. And, you know, part of that was evident where we also celebrated the NFL draft here recently. One of his teammates moving on, I'm sure, will kind of carry his torch in App State, Tyreek Funderburg. He got a UDFA, undrafted free agent. He's moving on to the league, headed to Tampa Bay. One of several throughout the draft and undrafted free agent signings that we had to kind of ring in the official end or beginning of the new college football cycle. Guys, when you look at those draft picks and the free agent signings, any surprises there to you?
I think we talked offline about Frank Gore. I think all of us kind of expected, not only because Frank Gore is a very talented running back. I mean, to me, nobody got more yards after the initial contact than Frank Gore. He seemed like NFL ready to me, unless there's some injuries that we don't know about, which is often the case. But I expected him to go. I figured.
Yeah, I was surprised, but not surprised. Yeah. Kamani Vidal, Troy's all-time leading rusher in the league, sixth-round draft pick, headed to the Chargers, wherever they are now, whether it's San Diego, Los Angeles, New York, who knows where they are. The other one, though, that really surprised me the most was the first Sun Belt player taken off the board, Rashid Ali out of Marshall, fifth round of Baltimore. Great running back, don't get me wrong, but I did not think that he was going to be the first guy off the board for the Sun Belt Conference.
Yeah, you know, the Sun Belt has, for the last few years, has been mostly the first guys off the board have been the bigs, right? Big offensive linemen, occasionally a linebacker. So to see a skilled position guy be first and fairly late, you know, also another part of that story, Dusty, is that once again, the Sun Belt led the group of five in NFL selections, but this time with only six. Last year, it was nine. So I read what you will into that. I think the group of five had something like, 18 or 19 drafted. I can't remember the exact number. It seems kind of low. It makes you worried. But it is nice to see that the Sun Belt is the group of five program or group of five conference that is leading the charge in that.
Yeah. Has anybody tallied the number of draft picks that started at a group of five school? I'd be curious to see that.
I heard a call for that last year, and I don't know if anybody aggregated that. I heard a call for that this year. I don't know if anybody's bothering to aggregate that. It seems like, Tibbs, it seems to me that would be the job of a real reporter, like an investigative reporter, like somebody who really has reporting chops, a true journalist. Do we know one of those guys?
No, but you know what would be great? You know how like on the NFL intros, these guys are like, you know, I went to Sycamore Elementary School. Why not give a shout out to that place where that actually got you started, that helped you be able to become academically eligible to go to the P5 school? Give a shout out to them.
You know, last year we had a kicker, Blake. Blake. Something I can't remember his name.
Groupie.
Yeah, Blake Groupie. Sorry, gosh. Brain fart.
He went to Notre Dame, Jeremy. He didn't go to Arkansas State.
But you know what? You know where he was during the spring game at Arkansas State? He was at the game. He came back to Jonesboro, and he was at the game signing autographs. And he routinely comes onto radio shows and says, hey, listen, I got my start at Arkansas State. I consider myself a Red Wolf. So when he like has that announcement on in games, which isn't often because he's the kicker, he'll say he's from Arkansas State. But yeah, that is a big question, guys. Where do you hail from the place you were drafted, or do you hail from the place where you got your start, Shane?
I mean, I think it depends a little bit too, like how long you stay at a place. I mean, like obviously right now, especially with the COVID years, there's guys who like go 4 years, graduate, you know, do the grad transfer thing, there's going to be less of that. So I'm kind of curious to see, like, if that trend continues, like, that there's going to be a lot of people who maybe play 3 or 4 years one place and then go for the last year. You know, if you spend 2 and 2 or, you know, 1 and 3, I don't know. I mean, probably up to the individual to decide where they feel most at home.
Yeah, I mean, Tibbs, do you know why? I don't know why. But I'll preface this by saying I don't know why. But do you know why some NFL guys will list a high school instead of their college alma mater? Is there some animosity between the player and the program?
I have no idea why they do that.
Do you know?
Like I said, I've seen guys even list out, I swear, a nursery school they went to in their, you know, romper roo days.
I think at one point, especially on Monday Night Football, it became just kind of like the cool thing to like say the most obscure place that fit for you, you know, or say something different. I don't know if that's still the thing. I have no idea what's cool anymore. I'm too old.
Because we're old aging guys. We don't know what's
cool. I think that's sort of how it happened. I mean, because it used to just be like a Monday Night Football thing where like you got introduced like that.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of everything.
Yeah, you know what I like when the player starts with their head down and he dramatically raises it up. I like that. Yeah, it's very cool. Did you guys watch the draft?
Not in the least bit.
How about you, Shane?
No, not really.
I was occupied. I had to watch. I was watching my son play lacrosse. But I was monitoring it from my phone. You know, NFL.com has the draft tracker. And I do see it, which Sun Belt guys go in. And it's always good to see those guys get in. Tibbs, was there a guy that didn't get drafted other than Frank Gore that you thought, what? Where? Why was this guy passed up?
I got a couple.
Okay.
Former Georgia State. If we're kicking it old school, receiver Sam Pinckney.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right.
He signed undrafted with the Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Hood, Georgia mm-hmm. Southern. He is headed to minicamp with the Giants. So there's no real ink. It's a hey, we like you. Let's see how much we like you. Come and play with us for a weekend and see how you like it.
Yeah.
One of the more interesting ones, he's staying in state, moving down just a little bit further down I-10. The Raging Cajun, Jacob Cabote, headed to Metairie for Saints training camp.
Yeah, he was even on my radar. Yeah, that's kind of cool. You know what? I was surprised that Jontre Hunter, the linebacker out of Georgia State, I was surprised he didn't hear his name. He ended up getting picked up by somebody, I forget who. But he didn't get called. And a lot of times I feel like if you go to the combine, there's a good chance you're going to hear your name. No Jontre. I was surprised. No, I had the wrong name. Jalen Green from JMU, I thought was going to go. I think there might be some injury issues. I don't know if that's true, Shane, but we talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, he's still recovering, rehabbing from the season-ending injury he had. Mm-hmm. And it may be a little undersized to begin with. I mean, as an edge rusher type of guy.
Yeah.
So not necessarily super surprised he didn't get drafted. Like, I'm thinking the injury and making sure they're all clear there and passing the physicals and everything is probably why he wasn't immediately snapped up as an undrafted free agent. But I'm sure he's going to be in camp somewhere.
Yeah. And LaDainian Webb was a guy that I thought might hear his name. He ended up getting one of the undrafted free agency offers too, so I'm glad to hear that. But I kind of thought maybe we'd hear from him. It was a golden year, guys. A golden era of Sun Belt running backs this year. I kind of expected to hear more come out, but I have a feeling we're going to see more play on Sundays, whether they were undrafted free agents or drafted in general. So there you go.
No Jason Henderson, also out of Old Dominion.
Did he get a UDFA?
Nothing.
Maybe he shows up at a rookie camp.
Maybe so. Or the ongoing CFL draft is occurring right now. He could be an import.
That's right. I think some Arkansas State guys are looking to hear their names from the Canadian draft, which is not to be laughed at. That is a good league.
You know, one of the biggest things, obviously, there's different rules to it, right? Where you have the 110-yard field, the 20-yard end zones, unlimited backfield motion, receivers that can go forward before the snap. 12-on-12, did I say that? Maybe so. I remember talking with Stephen Giles, who was an old ULM quarterback, played in the CFL for a handful of years. He said that was the one thing that really always got him, was learning that you had to account for, in some defensive sets, a third safety, and knowing where that guy was going to be, that it really changed the whole dynamic of how you play football. I always thought that was interesting.
You know what always cracks me up when I'm watching a rookie, like wide receiver, for instance, play in the NFL? It's when they catch the ball and they fall to their knee and they think they're down. But you're not down in the NFL unless you're touched, right? So a lot of guys will just, oh, I'm down, and not get up and start running. And that always cracks me up.
We have a Jaguar that is headed north to the Elks. DK. Ooh. Bonomi, I guess is how you say his name, linebacker.
Okay.
Second round draft pick. He's going to be an Elk.
All right. Congratulations. Very good.
Getting off the football subject.
All right.
This past weekend, the Raging Cajuns locked up their fifth straight Sunbelt Conference Championship, sweeping ULM. Close series all around. But Sam Landry was just really the difference maker, coming in, shutting the door, slamming the door, getting the start, getting a save, getting a middle relief. She did it all. Yeah, she deserved to be player of the week after that. But not without controversy.
Ooh, where controversy.
Head coach of the Raging Cajuns went on a Shreveport, Louisiana radio show leading up to the game, talking about how ULM has the worst facilities in all America. They don't care about Title IX. They don't care about women's athletics.
Shit.
And then,
To make matters worse,
the guy had to post on Facebook, oh, look, they have improved their facility. He was basing it off of like 5 years ago. Yeah, it did suck then. Guess what, though, buddy? They've raised money. They've built new facilities. And it's a pretty damn good stadium now. So shut your hole. Take your trophy and lose in a regional at home.
I'm glad to see that Warhawk fire still burning inside you, Tibbs. Speaking of stadium upgrades, there's a rumor floating around, Shane, that JMU's thinking about upgrading their football stadium. Did I see that correctly? Can you explain? Can you elaborate?
I mean, that's always been a lot of talk about, you know, everybody's seen the picture of the lopsided stadium at Bridge Forest at JMU, where, you know, the original expansion, they build up one side in the end zone and the other side is still the original stadium. Mm-hmm. There's always been kind of like the plan of, you know, sort of the if or when they're going to match it on the other side. New AD had his press conference today. Talked to him a little bit and, you know, strongly hinted that that's something that's already been discussed. That's something that is brought up to him, like even one day on the job. And he said he likes to build things. And I think, you know, before too long, we'll probably hear more details about like what the plan is to kind of finish off that stadium.
All right. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, I see that the Cajuns are like, I don't know, just bulldozing their entire stadium, right? I mean, it seems like it, and building a new one from scratch. Am I right about that, Tibbs? It feels that way. Or are they just tearing down part of it?
It's only part of it, but it definitely gives the appearance that they destroy the entire home side. if it's only half as nice as the renderings look, it's still going to be pretty badass. So.
Oh, okay. Good for the Cajuns. I'm glad they're putting some investment back. And I'm glad to hear ULM was putting some investments in their softball program. Investments that Arkansas State has yet to even contemplate.
Jeremy, since you pulled us back into football, another note had that I forgot to mention.
Okay.
Quick unofficial poll around the Sunbelt Conference.
Oh.
It seems like about 90 to 95% of Sunbelt players have opted into being in the upcoming EA Sports NCAA college football.
Do not understand why it's not 100%, but good for all those guys. It's going to be fun to play the NCAA college football game.
You know why it's not 100%?
Shane, enlighten us, please.
This is what I heard from an SID, is that, you know, it's absolutely amazing they got 90% to fill out paperwork on time.
All right. Actually, that does make a lot of sense. Oh, man. Okay.
But, all right. But Jeremy, I know that you're happy that you'll be able to keep Jalen Rayner, at least virtually, at Arkansas State a little bit longer. But I, sir, am going to carry on the tradition. I will take on the Viva La Bobcats and ensure that I take said quarterback to San Marcos with me.
Oh, okay. All right. That sounds good. Good. You know, I hope that it does work out that way. I mean, that's how the NFL is, right? You get the update online and in real time, guys can, you know, be moved on from one or another. It seems like we're well on our way of seeing that in college football, but yes.
Back to the diamond.
Okay.
After you squirreled out there and took us back to football.
I screwed that up and I apologize.
Hottest team in baseball. I mean, Cajuns still lead the conference in baseball, but the hottest team, Troy, they go to Coastal Carolina, get the sweep. They're now sitting pretty in second place. They have to close out the season. They host Louisiana Lafayette, go to Troy, and then host James Madison to close out the year. Boys, we could see it coming down to that final week. We're 3 weeks out from Sunbelt Conference finale of the regular season. It could be coming down to the stretch for that.
Yeah, and Troy looks pretty good, but I tell you what, they've kind of entered Appalachian State being Michigan in football in terms of how much chest thumping they are doing over that sweep of Coastal Carolina. It's well-deserved, though. Congratulations to Troy.
And just when I was starting to believe in the Panthers, losers of five straight,
yes,
sinking like a rock towards the bottom of the conference standings.
Where have we seen this before with the Panthers? Where have we seen the Panthers start off hot, like laser hot, and then at the end of the season just totally blow it? Where have we seen that before, Shane?
Well, we had the bizarro world football season here, where after we'd made such a big deal about how they always blow it in September, they went the opposite way on us. And,
yes.
And it seemed to rub off on the baseball team a little bit, too.
Here it is. But, yeah, I thought Georgia State was actually playing above their heads a little bit, baseball. Kind of came in under the radar, beating some teams, looking pretty good. Now they're, I believe, under 500, not just for the Sun Belt, but for the entire season, which is too bad.
That's all I have. That's all I prepared for you, Jeremy.
I've got a little bit more. Because suddenly I'm interested in men's basketball. You know, for a long time.
Oh, so you get a top 50 recruiting class, and all of a sudden he's now smoking a pipe and putting on the stupid smoking jacket again.
I've got the monocle on. I
BFFs got with head coaches.
No, absolutely not. No, he routinely criticizes me in the direct messages. But, no, I'm pleased to say that Arkansas State, as of now, currently has the top recruiting class in the Sun Belt, ranked number 40 in the nation as of now, which is really cool to see that type of involvement, that type of commitment from Arkansas State basketball. It's uncharted territory for us. We're very excited about that. But guys, it's not just Arkansas State that's doing well in recruiting basketball. I know JMU lost a lot of guys, but they're getting a lot of guys. Appalachian State's getting a lot of guys. ODU, Coastal Carolina, Southern Miss, all getting high-quality guys out of the transfer portal. It's really going to be interesting to see. I feel like there's this what Shane predicted a couple of years ago is going to come to fruition, that the Sun Belt is finally becoming a legit basketball conference, and I'm glad Arkansas State has taken a part of that.
That kind of sounded like a parting shot.
No. Does it? Oh, that was that's legitimate news. That's not me just grousing.
Yeah, it is.
That's me bragging and boasting.
Jeremy, congrats also on winning the men's golf championship over ULM.
Yes.
In a playoff. As we said off air, and I think even in our thread text, XDM chain, probably the best golf championship that the conference has had in a really long time, where it was two just really great, scrappy teams through and through, and really not a one-sided affair.
Yeah, it was exciting to watch if you're able to watch it. I believe it was streamed, and a lot of people did watch it and found it very stressful. There are a lot of A-State fans who were really kind of holding onto their chests at the end of that because ULM put up a great fight, a classic matchup between two programs that, let's face it, Tibbs, are known to drop the bag. So it's good to see at least one of these programs, you know, close escrow, get that championship. I believe the NCAA selection tournament selection is, I think, tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. If it's not, it's in a couple days. But Arkansas State fans will be looking for that and seeing where we end up being placed.
Are you going to the first four?
No.
Well, I didn't mean like you're attending. Is that where Arkansas State's going to be seated, though?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I don't know how who are the blue bloods of college golf? Is it guys like you know, Cal and Stanford? Is it all West Coast schools, or are there some Oklahoma Southern schools like Texas?
Good. Oklahoma State's had a good program. Stanford, yeah. Like obviously,
yeah.
I think maybe a lot of the ones down south and in Florida.
I would assume Arizona would have a good program, but yeah, I guess we'll see. I guess I'm going to learn something. So.
You know. Shane, could you picture Jeremy being out on a golf course, by the way?
Maybe. It's sort of...
I play. Caddy vibes. Caddy vibes?
Caddy Shack vibes.
One time I was playing golf in Arizona, and this older couple... I was alone. I was there for a wedding, and the groom said, "Jeremy, why don't you while your wife is getting ready?" She was a bridesmaid. "While your wife is getting ready for this, you go out and play golf at this fancy club." I said, "Okay." So I go out, you know, I'm renting some clubs, and they kind of hooked me up with two older people that were also on vacation. And at one point, I chunked a ball into the sand trap. And I just started yelling and cursing and offending God. And I could hear the old couple behind me go, "Don't say anything. Just don't say anything." I felt ashamed. I scared these old people.
I'm always nervous about getting grouped with somebody I don't know. Like, I have no idea if they're going to be good or not, and I'm not good. And I like to hit the ball, so I end up on the driving range more than the actual course.
But
I'm not any good.
Yeah, I get nervous when I get paired with somebody. Like, actually, I'll play really good that first hole with them because I'm really stoked and focused, and then I just start falling. But, yeah, I like playing golf, Tibbs. Do you play golf?
Not in the least bit.
No, okay.
Top golf is about as far as I go.
We got one of those in Little Rock. Hey, when you come down to Little Rock, we'll stop by the Top Golf.
I go up to Little Rock, but yes.
Oh, yeah, you're in Houston. Yeah, good.
Yeah. Geography, not a strong point, Shane.
No. I graduated from Arkansas State.
And on that note, we throw it to plugs, promos, and parting shots. Shane, what do you have?
just promo it. You can check out dnronline.com/sports. Read about JMU. Read about the Sun Belt. Read about JMU's new AD and new basketball and football coaches and all the new people coming to Harrisonburg because there's a lot of turnover right now.
Yeah. Welcome to big time college athletics, Shane. Once you hit the big time, they start leeching off of you.
Jeremy, what do you have?
You know, I with it being kind of slow, there hasn't been a whole lot going on. I have been kind of keeping tabs, monitoring, not really by choice, but because it's been sort of filling the Twitter sphere. This sort of, I don't know what you would call it, a feud between outgoing transfer students at Colorado and the head coach, Deion Sanders. There seems to be a sort of, I don't know, Enron principle with Deion Sanders. Let's just cut the 5% that are underperforming every year and be brutal about it. And hey, this is a dog-eat-dog world. Not really realizing that it's young people and their livelihoods that you're messing with. And then you have the team's quarterback, which happens to be the son of the head coach, kind of jumping in there and weighing in with his sort of mean-spirited opinions about things. I don't know what to think about this new Deion Sanders trek into high-profile college coaching. It started off strong. There was a lot of good feelings. Now it seems like there's sort of an ugly underbelly to it going on. I hope Deion Sanders, because I am a fan. I'm a fan of Deion Sanders, both as a professional football player and as a coach as he's gone in. I like a lot of the things that he's done, but I hope he grows up a little bit. You know, I hope that he matures a little bit here and sort of understands that when you become part of a bigger program, you can no longer just say, well, I'm prime time. I can do what I want. You are actually beholden to a lot of other people too. And the beauty, the power of being a college head coach at a program, whether it's a G5, a P5, even a FCS program, is being able to manage all those factions, whether it's your players, whether it's the boosters, whether it's the press, whether it's your coaches. You gotta manage them all. And right now, it doesn't look like Deion Sanders is managing them at all.
Guys, one thing I always loved doing was going to the movies.
Yeah, me too.
It was always fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the pure crack on the popcorn, but the popcorn tastes a little bit better. Yeah. The sodas are a little bit better. Hopefully. They have recliners.
Oh, it's so nice now.
Movie theaters are dead, though, Jeremy. That there is really just no good movies, no cinematic production. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And a recent article described Paramount, who is just absolutely tanking in the stock market in reputation, that they're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. How fitting that that is also the current state of college football.
Ooh.
As the firestorm is just continuing over whether or not we should have a G5 and a P5 playoff to separate, where we have the 1A, a 1AA, and then the FCS type of championship.
Yeah.
I gave my opinion. I stand by it. I want to be able to lift the big trophy.
Yeah.
The only way, though, that anybody in the G5 will ever get to do that is by breaking away. So break away, rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic, and let's lift a big-ass trophy, Jeremy.
Well, I'm not going to litigate that again, but what if you did this? What if there was a G5 tournament, Tibbs, but the Power Four had to play in it too?
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.